Love them? Amen. Praise God. Well, do we have our Bibles today? All right. It's Easter Sunday, and it's probably going to be quite obvious where I'm going to direct our thoughts today in the Scripture. Obviously, you're probably thinking of it too. Turn with me to the book of Job. I'm not kidding. Book of Job, chapter 19. There we go. I'm all frazzled today. I've got stuff all over the place. Oh my goodness. Wow. Job chapter 19. The title of our message today is actually a recurring theme that we've already had here this morning. It's simply this: My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. Now, in case you don't know the story of Job, and it's really funny because a lot of people, they love to skip this book. They don't like it because Job, the whole book of Job is all about a man who lost everything. So usually when we need encouragement, this is not the book where a lot of us go to, right? I'm depressed. Let's go to Job. That's usually not where we go. I'm not minimizing this book. It's a very, very important book. But in the midst of all the pain that Job went through, he lost his family, he lost his possessions, he lost his health. He lost a lot. He lost everything. Job, in the middle of this book that's about 40 chapters long, according to our Bibles, Job makes a statement here in chapter 19, beginning in verse 25, that I want to use as a backdrop today for every single one of us, because the same statement that Job made in the midst of all his trouble, in the midst of all his difficulty, in the midst of his life, is the same statement that I want you to be able to make. Job had a picture of his God that he could not lose. Let me say it again. Job had a picture of God that he could not lose. And when you're going through difficulty, when your life gets messy, how many of you know life can get messy sometime? Some of you are in the middle of messy right now. You need to have a picture of God that is accurate. A picture of God that is true. A picture of God that's not been tainted or messed up or deluded, but you need to know exactly who God is. And to be quite honest with you, you also need to know who you are in God's eyes. And Job was able to make a statement that I want to read for you. It's just three verses that I think that on this Easter Sunday, we could take with us today, not just today, but the rest of our lives. And will you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this? Just three quick verses. Job chapter 19, beginning in verse 25, going through verse 27. Now, if you don't have your Bible, either on your phone or in pages in front of you, you could follow on the screen with me. Beginning of verse 25, here's what Job says. And again, in the midst of all the pain and the stress and the anxiety, he says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. My Redeemer lives." Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're alive. And I'm asking you now, Lord Jesus, that you would take this message and just anoint it. We know your word's anointed, so no problem there. But God, I pray that the presentation and the reception of this would be such that you would change lives today. And that cannot happen without you, Holy Spirit. So have your way, I pray. In your name, and we all said, amen. 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 Well, you may be seated. don't know about you, but for me, there are different, I was going to say there's different personalities to me, but that kind of borders on psychosis. But there's different views of me that some people have, and throughout the years that has varied. Most of you know me as your pastor or as a pastor. There are some that have known me as a coach, either basketball or soccer coach, which basically meant I just tied shoes and pointed. Some know me. Matt knows me as brother. Some of you know me as just adorable. Others, I mean, you know, let's embrace it. I'm kidding. What's that? So what's interesting, there's different views. Some of you are just scowling at me like I'm never coming here again. So just give me another chance. But there's these different views of me based on what the need is in the person's life, how I interact with them. There are three views of God that Job brings out here that I believe each and every one of us here could benefit from knowing today or being reminded of today. Some of you, you've been around church for a long time, and that's great. But sometimes we need to be reminded just who God really is. Others of us, we're kind of new in our spiritual journey, in our walk with God, or maybe that doesn't really exist just yet. And so we kind of need to know what God's really all about. Wherever you stand, wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, this definitely will apply to you today. And I want to give you three views of God that Job had that I think we need to have as well. Number one, y'all ready? If you're taking notes today, this message is brought to you by the letter R. First of all, he is a redeeming God. He's a redeeming God. He is a God who redeems. Now, verse 25, Job makes this confession. He says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." Now, I'm a self-confessed church brat. I've grown up in church. I've been in church all my life. And I would hear people say, you know, "I've been redeemed." They'd sing the old song on the church bus, "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." You heard that? Yeah. And then they'd just make up verses. and we'd go through it, and I'd sit there and think, "What's that mean? I don't know what that means. It's obviously good if I've been redeemed. I just don't know what that means." And for a lot, I'll confess to you, for a lot of my church life, I wasn't sure exactly how to define that. Just knowing it was good, and that if I knew Jesus, I was redeemed, and that's awesome, but okay. Then what? Well, let me show you something. Don't get excited, Kyle. In my wallet, there is an unredeemed gift card in here, right here. It's to Texas Roadhouse. No, see, look at all the greed in here. Lord, Jesus, just need to have an altar call right now. Oh, God's taking us a totally different direction. And if you gave me this, I will use it, I promise. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, okay? So I'm going to get one nasty email. "That was for me." And so this card has already been purchased by somebody, but it does no good staying in my wallet. Correct? I have not had a ribeye yet. Oh, it's coming. Sunday's coming. But it does no good for me to receive this, but to do nothing with it. It's been bought, it's been paid for, but that's as far as this has gone. Jesus is our Redeemer. Where on the cross, what did he do? He paid a debt. He made a payment that none of us could afford. None of us. The best person in here, and you know who you are, but the best person, the best person in here needs the grace of God. No matter who you are, no matter what your experience is. And it does us no good to know that Jesus died for our sins and paid the price for our sins if we just keep that payment, that gift of eternal life, in our wallet. And see, and I fear that there's so many in this world today that have, they know that he's the Redeemer, but they haven't used the gift card. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says that it is in him that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We just are 2 days removed from Good Friday, the day that Jesus, that we commemorate when Jesus died the most painful, ultimate death for us. Every single one of us deserved that death, that payment. Why? Because of our sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. And the wages or what we earn for that sin is death. And so here we are, we have this huge debt that we can't pay, and all we're facing is death. What do we do about that? And that's when Jesus said, I'll take it from there. And God sent his only son to take our place, to live a sinless life. That alone, by the way, is amazing. And as the perfect sacrifice, died on the cross, paying the debt that I owe, purchasing, redeeming my salvation, which he offers to each and every one of us. See, the very definition of to redeem something is to buy or to pay off. Do you know that when Jesus uttered the words, it is finished, that we translate in English as it is finished? It was actually a one-word term that he uttered from the cross. And I saw one terrible movie one time that had this guy, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy hanging on the cross with a British accent. And to make it dramatic, he says, it is accomplished. I thought, what is that? That's not what he said. He literally said the word, it is finished. It is finished. But if you dig deeper, it was actually the word tetelestai. It was a business term that a creditor would stamp or write on an invoice when the entire debt had been paid in full. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he literally said, the debt has been paid in full. Could I ask you today, what are you doing with the gift that Jesus is offering you today? Why? He is a redeeming God. He's a redeeming God, and he loves us. Jesus has purchased our salvation. I challenge you today, accept that gift. If you're not right with God today, accept that gift. He did this not out of obligation, not to become a martyr, but he did so because he loved you. He loved you. Job recognized that his God was a redeeming God. Secondly, Job not only recognized that he was a redeeming God, but he's also a returning God. Not only is he a redeeming God, but he's also a returning God. This gets kind of interesting because this book of Job is actually a really old book. Some theologians will actually say that this may have been the very first book of the Bible that was written, even before Genesis. And so Job is kind of old. He's a prime timer. Oh, we're booing now. We're booing on Easter. Oh my goodness. Tough crowd. What's wrong with you? Okay, let's just pretend the last minute didn't happen. But look what he says. Let's try to reel this back in. Job says this in verses 25 and 26. He says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer," and then he goes further in verse 25, "he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." Amen. I want to remind you on this Easter Sunday that Jesus is coming back soon. He is. Somehow the Lord revealed to Job. Job knew, even this early in history, that he would one day see his Lord triumphant on the earth. Amazing. And we see this mapped out in the book of Revelation, but here, so early, Job makes this statement, but we see other references here that we have something to look forward to. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." 1 John 3:2 says that, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, we have this to look forward to. John says this, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, or taxes." I just threw that in there. Yes. "For the old order of things has passed away." One more from the book of Titus says, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." I have tried to discipline myself to live with an eternal mindset. What I mean by that is this. I try to live my life realizing that this is not all that there is. I want to say it again. This is not all there is. You've not been called to eventually die someday. God has more for you than that. Aren't you glad? You've got a purpose. Remember we were talking about life getting messy? See, here's the deal. Life gets messy because we live in a messy world. And sometimes we make the messes, sometimes people make the messes around us, sometimes the enemy of our soul makes messes that are hard for us to deal with, but we got all this messy stuff that we're dealing with all the time. But we do have a hope that one day, I will see God. One day, he's coming again. One day, things will be different. He will wipe every tear from my eye. Sickness, those of you who struggle with sickness, no more. Isn't that great? Those of you who deal with constant pain, And I'm not referring to your spouse. Those of you who deal with constant pain, don't look. Those of you who deal with constant pain, that'll be taken away. We'll have a glorified body. I'll be thinner. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's more. There's more than just earth. We have hope that to be gone or absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I've done my share of funerals. 30 years, you do a lot of funerals. And I've stood beside a casket where I wasn't always sure where the person stood spiritually. But then there's those moments where I stand there and I know that they're with Jesus. And that means we don't weep like the world does, but we actually rejoice because that person is in the presence of God. Those funerals almost become parties sometimes. I mean, it's incredible because we know that there's a hope beyond this earth. Friend, I want you to know that if you're facing difficulty, you have hope. You have hope that one day you will see him. Thirdly and lastly, I'm going to close with this. Not only is he a redeeming God, not only is he a returning God, but he is also a resurrecting God. He's a resurrecting God. My God is alive. I said, my God is alive. This is the most important day in Christianity right now. This is it. I like Christmas better. Fine. Christmas is fine. Not mocking Christmas. But hear me. If Jesus doesn't raise from the dead, this is what separates us from every other religion. Because the God that I pray to can actually hear me. The God that I pray to is alive today and victorious today. And so that's what makes our belief system true, not different, true. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. How could he make such a statement? Because he knew that, yes, he would go to the cross, but he knew that he would raise from the dead. Job, in verse 27, he says, I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. That's why today is a lot more than bunnies and eggs. Rabbits don't lay eggs. I'm not even sure. I guess I need to Google that, find out where that started. But anyway, where'd that come from? Romans 8:11, I quoted this earlier. Listen to this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. I want you to fathom that, okay? The same power, the same spirit that caused Jesus to walk out of a grave is the same exact same spirit that if you know Jesus Christ, he lives in you. I just don't have power. Oh, honey, you got power. I don't know if I can get through this. Oh, you can get through this. The very one who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. He can handle your financial issue. He can handle your relationship issue. He can handle your work issue. He can handle whatever it is that you're dealing with. See, because the resurrection of Jesus not only applies to the future, but it applies to the present. Because this resurrected God is alive and cares about every single thing that I'm facing right now. And so it's that power that helps me get through my crisis and my pain and my hurt and everything that I'm going through. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. No comment. And so is your faith. Some of you have been through some tough stuff. I look around this room. Some of you, I've been with you at the hospital even recently. And it was tough. How do we get through this stuff? It's through Jesus. You, listen, we are not wired. We are not created to be able to get through stuff without Jesus. That's the way he has created you. You have been made to depend on him. And we think that depending on somebody is a sign of immaturity. My son's 18. All through his life, he has depended on me. But there's coming a day, hopefully soon, where he will... No, I'm kidding. There's coming a day where he will be independent of me to a degree. He'll be on his own. He'll be eating his own food. Not taking all the cupcakes. Not that I'm bitter. But he won't really depend on dad and mom so much, if at all. But maturity in our faith in God is just the opposite. So, you see, the more dependent you become on God for everything is a sign of maturity in your spiritual life. You have been created to depend on him. And if he was not resurrected, that would just be kind of a good luck thing. There would be no certainty. There'd be no hope. But because he's alive, because he's been resurrected, we have that confidence. So whatever you're going through, you can have this holy dependency on the King of Kings who's risen from the dead. Ralph, if you can help me, that'd be great. Job made 3 observations of his God. 3 views of him that he had to hang on to. He recognized that his God was a redeeming God. He recognized that his God was a returning God, and he recognized that his God was a resurrecting God. He recognized all of that. What does that give us? Because if we just kind of stop there, we're just giving you a bunch of nice truths that start with the same letter, and that's about it. But because he's a redeeming God, that gives us heaven. We can have heaven as our home someday. We can have what I would call hope because he is a returning God. And because he's a resurrecting God, we can have help. Heaven, hope, and help. Which do you need? What do you need from God? Job said, I know this. Back to Job. I've lost my family. I've lost my health. I've lost my income. I've lost my home. I've lost all my property. I've lost everything. And the 3 people that call me friends are nothing but annoyances. I'm getting no help at all on earth. He said, but I know this. I know that my Lord, my Redeemer, lives. I know that I have a redeeming God. And one day I'm going to see him, and I can't wait because he's returning. I'm going to see him. And so that gives me hope. He's redeeming. And so I know I can be with him in heaven. He's resurrected. He's returning. He's redeeming. And because he's resurrected, I have help today. What do you need? What do you need from the resurrected Lord? Do you need to see him today as your redeemer? Do you need him to forgive you of your sins? Are you far from God? Do you need to come back to God today? Today's the day where Jesus would remind you of his word that says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll call upon the Lord, he'll answer. Today, if you just need a little bit of hope so you can go on, he's there to give you hope today. If you're so ultimately discouraged that you don't know what's next, the resurrected Lord is here to give you hope. The returning God is here to let you know this isn't all there is. You need help today? He'll give you help. He cares about what you're, even if it's your fault, even if you made the mess, he'll give you help. What do you need from him? What do you need, Job? He's here to give you that. Would you bow your heads with me, every one of us, as we close things off? Now, in a little bit, we're going to have some fun with the kids, but right now, this is vitally important. I wonder today, is there anyone who needs to see that he is that redeeming God? That God who can forgive us of our sins. You'll say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I know it. And I need to get things right. Whether you've made that decision before or you never have before, that separation is why Jesus went to the cross. And today, he wants you to be in right relationship with him. But it starts by you accepting that gift. Don't leave it in your wallet. Accept that gift. You're hearing you say, Pastor, I need that gift of his forgiveness. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need to get right with him. No one's looking around, but I want to see your hand if that's you because I want to pray for you. If that's you, thank you. Hands are going up. Are there others? Thank you. I'm not right with God and I need to be. Who else? I need to get right with God. I need him to forgive me. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not right with God, Pastor. Several have raised their hands. Are there others? I need his forgiveness. I need a new start. How about those of us who need a little bit of hope? We're so discouraged with life. The Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you. And it says plans to give you a hope and a future. That applies to you today. You'll say, Pastor, I just need some hope again. And hands are already going up. If that's you, I just need hope. I'm going to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Promise. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A number of hands. Thank you. Last question, then I'm done. Pastor, I'm going through something. I just need his help. I need that healing touch. I need that strength to go on. And again, hands are already going up. Is that you too? A number of us here. I need help. I need help. I just need the strength to go on. I can't do it on my own. And you can't. You can't. You can't. But God can. Hands are so many hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You could all put your hands down. Could we stand, every single one of us here today? Stand to our feet. For those of us where this might not be your normal Sunday routine, we'd like to give people a chance to respond to God, not to me, but to God with the word. And so if you're one of the many today who raised your hand for whatever reason, could I invite you to take a few moments and pray to God about why you raised your hand. So, in fact, for a number of you who raised your hand saying that I need to get right with God, I'm going to pray a real specific prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray that with me. And the Bible says that when we pray that prayer, he separates us from our sin as far as east is from west. Now hear me. That's not the end of a life. That is the beginning of a new one. Okay? So I'm not asking you just to end some life where you're making bad decisions or that you've drifted, but I'm asking you to embrace a new life that the Lord has for you. It's not enough for you just to say, I'm sorry. What God wants to do is start something new, make you a new creature, a new creation. And so some of us may need the Lord to show us exactly what that is. So I urge you, spend some time just in his presence. Those of you who need hope today, I want you just to spill your guts out to God if you have to, saying, God, I'm so discouraged. I need you to help me. And trust me, he could handle your prayers, and he could handle your honesty. So would you talk to him today? And those of you, you just need help to go on. You need to get through this crisis, this problem. I'm going to ask you to spend some time saying, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you to carry this burden. Can you take just a few moments to pray to that redeeming, returning, resurrected God? Once I'm done praying, I'm going to encourage you to spend some time with the Lord. And then we'll turn the kids loose to have their fun. But right now, let's talk to God, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I sense in my spirit especially that you are doing a significant work in a lot of people's lives today. And so Jesus, first to those that need to be right with you, God, as I pray this prayer, in fact, church, why don't you repeat this portion of the prayer with me, would you? Dear Jesus, I ask you, forgive me of all of my sin. I ask you to help me to live for you, not for myself, but for you. Give me the power to resist temptation and help me to experience the life that you have for me. In the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I pray that today you would just seal that decision. God, that you would take that decision, you do something great. And Lord, I ask you that today you would give hope to those that are so discouraged. God, I come against hopelessness and fear and discouragement, and I pray that you would be the glory and the lifter of their heads today. And Lord, I ask you that you would be that help. Be that help to that person that doesn't think they can make it, that doesn't know where the answer is going to come from. Lord, be that source of help, I pray. So Lord, in these next few moments, as some of us will be meeting with you, as some of us, Lord God, will be talking to you, I pray that right now you would begin that new work in so many of us here today. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. And we all said amen. Now, if you need to spend some time praying, do so right now. If God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. We'll meet the kids out by the lobby, and then we'll have a great time. God bless you.